Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Ralph Marlboro here. We need your support to keep Saints Happy Hour going this offseason. Please support the show by becoming a patron so we can continue to cover the Saints in the ridiculous fashion you've come to expect. If you support the show, you get access to the podcast ad-free. No ads ever. Plus, you get our world-famous booze bundle, 4 swag items, amazing, and you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7. So please support Saints Happy Hour so we can keep this amazing community growing. Support the show at saintshappyhour.com today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy podcast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody. Welcome to A Whole New World. It's the Saints Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for joining us. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube. We have reached the big time. I am no longer in charge of any of the audio, video. It is Dave Andrew's dream. We got Thomas in Poland. It's like 3:45. He's in like 8 coffees deep. He's running the whole shebang. Welcome to the new Saints Happy Hour YouTube channel.
It's gonna
be amazing. Thanks for joining
we
us.
We actually fit in our boxes today.
Fit in our boxes.
Looking at us on YouTube.
The levels are going to be right on YouTube. It's not good. People aren't going to have to crank it up to 110%. It's going to be amazing.
There's no frozen video.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this.
All the levels are even.
I know. I got to be honest. I think this is too good for me.
We are highbrow. I thawed out in Texas, and when I thawed out, it was a whole new podcast. That's what happened. So
the greatest thing to ever happen to this podcast.
It is.
It's a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing you guys went on Sunday instead of Monday. And it's a good thing you didn't wait for me because you would have never gotten a podcast. So it was a good thing you went when you did.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I couldn't go. Dave, I knew that if we went Monday, catastrophe awaited, and it was even worse than I thought. Like Texas,
yeah,
basically dropped below 30 degrees, and it stayed that way until Friday. So like it was the right call. Like we had to do it. Thomas, get on the air and tell the people. Like people need to hear your voice to realize that you're real. Like say,
yeah, this is Thomas from Russia. Just kidding. Hello, everyone.
Go away, Thomas.
He's the opposite. He's the opposite of me. Dave and Andrew figured this out because here's my thing was no matter what calamity befell this podcast 10, 20 seconds before we went live, my attitude was we are going live, hell or high water. Nothing is stopping the show. Thomas is like, hey, we're just going to wait. I got to check some things. I got to make sure it's right. So we come on a little late. It's fine. He's got the little intro to start. It's amazing. But that's where we are. So I wanted to start with that, with actual Saints news as we wait for Drew Brees to retire. Maybe it'll come this week. But Andrew, you noticed, and a lot of people did, Instagram, he's in Hawaii, so that ain't happening until he gets back from Hawaii. So I don't know how long he's been on vacay.
He was at the Hawaii airport, right? Actually, let me look at this Insta that he posted. But yeah, he was at the Hawaii airport, so it was unclear to me whether he was coming or going.
Going, yeah.
But if he's coming, then he's probably not an Alex phrasing. But if he's just
send me
there,
the link, Andrew.
Oh, okay, I will. But yeah, if he's not, if he's there, then and he's just getting there, I would think that it's he's probably going to be there for a week, and it's at least going to be a week before.
Well,
we see him back.
And of course, me, I'm setting up the patron stuff for the week. Me and Andrew have a couple of podcasts in the can. I'm setting up everything. I loaded my WWL column for the patrons early. And I loaded it in, and I was just like, I'll just hit publish when he announces that he retires. Of course, me being the expert editor, producer of everything that I am, I pushed it out live. So patrons got it for like 5 minutes, the Drew Brees retirement column, and I totally confused everyone in the Discord channel. They're like, wait, Ralph put out the Drew Brees retirement column. Did he announce today? No, he didn't. I'm just an idiot. But does that make us think that it's not going to happen this week and we're going to have to go through another week, Dave, of the speculation that he's thinking of coming back? The longer he goes and doesn't announce retiring, I feel like it ramps up. People get more and more believing that he's going to come back. Do you think another by the end, if he doesn't retire this week, by Friday, people are going to be 100% convinced he's coming back, right?
Wait. So what is Thomas showing us right now? This is from last year, right?
Yeah.
No, he's showing. Oh, is he not showing you Drew Brees' Instagram when he was?
Let's make another run.
Yeah. So
let's make another run at it.
Oh yeah, that's last year.
He. When he returned from Hawaii. So he's on that trip currently.
And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're probably a week away.
Yeah. I think probably when he announces, he's just going to put a Notre Dame helmet in the Instagram.
So that,
and we'll know.
That tweet is from a year ago.
That's right.
And the one I just sent you, Thomas, if you can post that. Now, I'm getting all like,
I got God
stuff. the one that he just posted of his kids is in Hawaii currently at the airport. So anyway.
Well, anyway, I think, you know, Ralph's right. I mean, I don't know. My understanding of it was Mickey Loomis said 2 weeks ago that he was expecting something, you know, within a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And that just sort of set this ticking clock. And now we're a week past that. He's in Florida. He's in Hawaii now. He may not make another decision. You know, decision for another week. But I do feel like the longer I think it's legitimate to think the longer he waits to make a decision, that means that he's at least giving it thought. He's at least thinking about it. He hasn't. You know, it's not an instant. An instant decision. He's ready to make. So. I don't know, but then the question is, I just saw it on Reddit today, is that meme with the guy with the two button options and he's sweating, you know, and it's like, do we want Drew Brees to return and make one more run at it, or do we push the other button that says he's holding back the team? Like, which one is it? Like, which side are you on? Which camp are you in?
I said
who that nation is divided.
I said on Twitter, look, people know I want Drew Brees to retire because I think it only gets sadder from here. But if he announces he's coming back, I will convince myself that he's going to be healthy for a whole year. His ribs are going to be great. He's not going to get hit, and it's going to be awesome. I talked myself into Brandon Browner at corner, Andrew. I know I can talk myself into another year of Drew Brees. Like, I can do that in like 30 seconds. Like, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of with you in the sense that, yeah, it's one of those things where I don't want him back, but if he says he's coming back, I'll change my tune really quickly.
I mean, yeah. The Saints
just for the fact that I would hope that, you know, if not a completely full stadium, pretty darn close to it, hopefully next year, if everybody gets vaccinated and we can beat this COVID thing. I mean, if not. You know, if only just to get Drew to get the proper send off and to get a good final season and, you know, in front of fans and get a big deal to be made out of him. You know, they could have, you know, who knows? They could do something every game. They could, you know, show highlights every game or pick a different game that he did excelled in or whatever. But, you know, just for that alone, for him to get that, I think would be.
Here's a question for
I well, he's both. Already, I just want to say real quick, like, he's already getting massive amounts of disrespect. And there's a tweet that I don't know if Thomas is going to be able to show this or not, but it's a tweet that's circulating right now. That's I have to admit, it's pretty funny. But it's basically someone that's trying to throw a rock or something, and he tries to chuck it, and it barely goes 2 feet. And the tweet is like, Michael Thomas does a double move, and he's wide open. He's trying to throw it. It's brutal.
He throws it like 4 feet.
So like the mockery, like it's been going on for so long, and like now, like for years, you know, it was the whole arm truther thing, and we're like, it's not that true. Well, like now, it's kind of starting to feel pretty accurate, and it's just like the more he plays, the closer it gives validity to the mocking, you know.
I know, but then you go back to last season and Brittany Breeze's Instagram and revealing that he had all these injuries, and like Ralph said, he'll talk himself into it, and a huge part of that talking yourself into it process is saying, well, he had all these injuries last year, and
but his
injuries maybe
aren't
he'll
getting better at his age. They're getting worse, right?
Well, you know, but maybe he'll come back next year and he won't have the injuries and he can play a full healthy season and be healthy. But again, we've discussed.
Sounds like you're hoping against hope.
Here,
look, if you could say, Dave, what's your dream scenario? What do you want to happen? Obviously, it is 100% Drew Brees comes back one more year. He's healthy. He has a great season. He doesn't have to have a 2011, 2009, 2012, whatever season. But, you know, maybe something along the lines of 2017, 2018. And I'm not going to say wins the Super Bowl, but, you know, goes to another NFC championship game or something like that, maybe.
Here's my question for you guys.
And takes over the career touchdown.
Yeah, he's got to catch old Tom
over
Brady.
Brady.
But
that's
here's
what I want.
Here's my question for you guys. What is something Saints-related you totally talked yourself into, but in your heart you knew it was going to be a flaming fucking disaster, and you talked yourself into it?
This podcast.
I was going to say first, I talked myself into Fred Weary at corner back in the day, Ashley Ambrose the second time with the Saints. I was all in for Johnny Patrick at corner, Brandon Brown. Like, there's not bad corner in the Sean Payton era that I didn't talk myself into that they would be average and be good enough to make the defense not
when
horrible.
I was in college, one of my fraternity brothers was a Chargers fan. And he told me Orlando Ruff was terrible. He said, I can't believe you picked that guy, and he's going to be your starting middle linebacker. He's awful. And I didn't listen to him, and I said, nah, Jim Haslett's a pretty good talent evaluator. I think Orlando Ruff's going to be pretty good for the Saints. I convinced myself of that.
Dave,
that was a low moment.
What's something you deluded yourself into believing?
Man. I don't know. There's so many. Most of them are cornerbacks.
We probably were all excited about Brandon Browner.
Yeah.
There's the video of... Praise to Michael Thomas, right? It took you long enough, Thomas.
Yeah, way to go. You're quick on the draw there.
He's slower than me.
Yeah. Well, there was no way you would have even been able to pull up that video, let alone figure out how to share it with the world.
No, I'm just talking about sound effects.
Ralph, you would have pulled that off at all. Yeah.
But no, I can't think of somebody in particular just off the top of my head. But like I said, there's probably a lot of cornerbacks on that list. Probably a couple of coaches. You know, I've always wondered, like, Steve Spagnuolo, he's done well with other teams. You know, he's taken multiple teams to Okay, maybe I shouldn't say he's taken multiple teams. I'll say he's been the defensive coordinator of multiple teams in multiple Super Bowls, and he was so horrendous for us. Like, how was that possible?
Well, I feel like with Spagnuolo, one of the things with him, Dave, was that in 2012, Sean Payton was gone, and the inmates were—well, that's a bad term. I won't say that because that gets the Texans in trouble. But, like, the players were, like, running the show, and the defense basically—Andrew, you know this. I think Shanley even said it. Like, halfway through the year, they were like, fuck this guy. We're not—they didn't listen to him. Like, they didn't pay attention. Like, Sean Payton was gone. It was chaos in 2012. I think that's part of the reason why Spagnuolo probably failed, along with the defense being stocked with horrible
players.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll never know what he would have been like with Sean Payton running the show. So, in some ways, I think it's unfair, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting in the sense that Greg Williams kind of ran his own thing, right? Sean Payton really had nothing to do with him. And everything else besides Greg Williams was kind of a failure. I mean, Gary Gibbs had like a minute there. But for the most part, all of his defensive coordinators were a joke. And
I don't know, man. Rob Ryan 2013 was amazing.
He was a flash in the pan for a second. I'll give you that. But I'm almost kind of surprised at how good and sustained Dennis Allen has been. But, you know, this is by far the best talent they've ever had to work with on defense.
No, I feel like we need longer production meetings and we need to plan this out because the thing that I want Thomas to show right now is Rob Ryan with the two cartons of ice cream. There's a picture of him floating around the internet of that. I feel like we need long 2-3 hour production meetings.
Told you all to send me stuff.
I'll find it. I'll send it.
we need to have like that so Thomas can just flood people with ridiculous images. But.
Yeah, but like we have no idea where this podcast is going to go, where the conversation is going to lead.
It's going to go nowhere fast, off a cliff into a disaster is where it's going to go.
Before we started this podcast tonight, there's no way you would have known that you needed the picture of Rob Ryan with
eating
two,
ice cream.
It's
fair enough. I had for my profile for the longest time, I had the Rob Ryan face when they lost to New England on the last play, and Rob Ryan had just had that sad face and his long gray hair is just flopping down.
I remember that.
But, Dave, I also, in other, not Saints news, but NFL news, I thought of you in that there is, it wasn't a rumor, it was reported in the Sports Business Journal that the NFL, like, they've started to negotiate for the TV contracts. Because they're all up after this year. The NFL went to every single TV partner, and they're like, we want double the money. So if they get double the money for all the TV contract, your bailout of Mickey Loomis happens.
Well, look, who could have seen this coming other than me? I've been saying it for like the entire season, like since before the season even started. Now, that's not to say it's going to happen, but yes, basically the NFL has gone back to all the networks and said we want double, which is just absolutely crazy, especially considering viewership numbers were down this year, like at least 7%.
But it's still the most watched product of anything on TV.
Yeah, it is, but it's I don't really, from a business standpoint, I don't see how you could really really legitimately ask for double and expect to get double, you know, when your numbers are trending downward. That doesn't make sense. Now, of course,
Here's the thing though, Dave, and I'll flip it to you, is the NFL is basically saying to all these networks, I dare you not to have NFL football on your channel in the fall. I dare you to try to put other programming on in the fall on Sunday. I dare you. I don't think they'll get double, but I bet you they get damn near close to double. I bet you, Andrew, I bet you they get a 50% increase, at least a 75% increase.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start high if you want to. There's a Rob Ryan set up. But I think you start high, right? That's how negotiations work.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And if they end up getting 50% more, that's great.
They very well may get 50% more. And I don't think that they're necessarily threatening these networks. And I don't think that the NFL has any plans to, you know, leave any of the networks or abandon any of the networks and go to somebody else. I think they just would like, their ideal situation would be just to get more money out of the networks that they
would
currently
have.
And yeah, I think they may get more money. And just as the background, going back to earlier, they're doing this obviously, or, you know, the timing of this was totally predictable. Like I have been saying this whole time, because they want more money because they want to be able to raise the salary cap so that they can help out their teams as far as, you know, signing these players, and especially, you know, since revenues were so much lower this year because of COVID. So this is all very predictable.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website and use your mobile device to sign in today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators perform a rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you, so you can shop confidently, knowing your pair is the real deal. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today. Do you think, Andrew, that if Amazon has enough money, they can buy whatever the fuck they want? Amazon went to the NFL and said, we'll give you double. Hell, we'll give you triple. We don't give a fuck. We just want the NFL, and we're going to put it on NFL. We're going to put it on Amazon Prime. So if you want to watch NFL football, you have to have Amazon Prime. And NFL, we're going to triple your broadcast revenue. Do you think the NFL would take all the games off of free TV and put it on Amazon Prime? I think they would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And the salary cap can be $280 million, and Loomis can laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah.
Andrew, I guess I'll start with you. Does this make you feel does it make you feel a little bit better about the salary cap with the Saints?
Wait, what, Ralph? Sorry, we were all having our own conversation without you.
Yeah, because the
what did you say?
I said, does it make you feel that the rumor with the NFL asking for double, does it make you even more confident that the Saints are going to be fine cap-wise?
Yeah, I think the cap is going to be, you know, I think the timing of this, I think they're trying to get this deal done with the networks before the start of the new NFL year. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's not that long away. What is it, March 1st or shortly after that? I don't know. I'm pretty sure the cap is going to be set at what people are saying now, which was, 180? What was it?
180, yeah. That's where they think it's going to be.
180. So, I mean, again, unless a new deal gets made with these networks in the next week or so or whatever, I think it'll probably just be around there. I would expect it.
Yeah, the other Saints news that broke after
you imagine what if it went to like 190 or 195? Like,
oh my god,
that would be awesome,
Andrew.
Well, 188 is kind of the rumor right now.
If
Andrew, 188 without any new network deals.
If the network TV contract of the NFL owner's dream, let's not say it's Amazon, but let's say it's close to 100% more, and the cap is 205 million. I know. Does that mean the Saints
this year? You're talking about this year.
I'm talking about this year. If it's 195 to 205 million, let's give it a range. If it's close to 200 million, could they keep Marcus Williams, keep Trey Hendrickson, and do some other shit? Like, if it's close to 200 million, does it basically mean that they can keep the whole roster together if they want?
I think so. So you got to look at it. I don't know where the cutoff is for Mickey Loomis, but you got to think for every $5 million that he saves. I love this Rob Ryan picture. Guys, we're gonna be okay. I just ate Percy Harvin. That's a great, great meme. But it's like, let's say the Saints are at 180, right? And let's say it gets bumped up to 185. Boom, you get to keep Malcolm Brown, right? And I think a lot of fans may say, oh, we don't need to keep Malcolm Brown. He's not that big of a deal. But he's an important rotation guy for stopping the run. And then, okay, give him another $5 million. And all of a sudden, we get to keep Janoris Jenkins, you know, or we get to keep some other guy on the roster that we were planning on cutting. So every $5, $10 million you add, that's one less piece they have to remove. I think they have the money to re-sign Marcus Williams, and I think they have the money to work a deal with James Winston, because again, remember, it's not just about the cap this year, it's next year, and they can add avoidable years and all that. I think it's more about how many free agents can they add on top of that.
If they can keep Trey Hendrickson and Marcus Williams, it would be the most fun off-season thing they've ever done, maybe. I think it would be it'll give me more joy than that night that I thought they had Clowney. If they could keep both, I am not gonna lie.
More joy than the night I thought they had Jimmy Graham back.
So,
more joy than when the Pels got Zion.
No, nothing compares to that.
Well, hey.
A little
did that? Or, was that
a little.
Or was that
no, that was me.
I don't have it.
I just want to say,
plus, Thomas would have done it quicker too.
They would have done it quicker.
Yes.
The Pelicans came back from 24 down today and won in overtime against the Celtics. The Celtics
amazing.
Were very Falcony today.
I was pumped.
So, you know, the Saints did have actual news that broke late over the weekend that Andrew knew about and hoarded. Zach Strief is not going to be play-by-play guy anymore. And he's going to be assistant offensive line coach for the Saints. And Andrew was sworn to secrecy because he's best buds with Zach Strief. It's true. But here's the thing. I'm sad about this for a lot of reasons, Andrew. One is because Zach Strief was really good. Like I know he's only been the play-by-play guy for 3 years, but he was getting really good at it. Second of all, he was a fun media person, which was awesome. Third of all, he liked this podcast, came on as a guest, and made it fun, and he would come on 2-3 times a year. That's gone now that he's going to be assistant offensive line coach. But most of all, Andrew, I thought he liked his lifestyle of owning a brewery, being the play-by-play guy. Like, that seems like a really great, cushy life. Now he's going to be assistant offensive line coach? God, he's going to be working 20 hours a day? Like, that just seems not as fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, the Saints really wanted him. And I think that speaks to just how much they love him in the building. And, you know, it's one of those things where I just think he kind of thought he was the next 30 years of his career were going to be as the voice of the Saints. I think he really thought that was I'm not going to speak for him. He can speak for himself, but my understanding is that he thought he was going to do that for the rest of his professional career. And, you know, this opportunity came up, and I just think he was already kind of doing it. He was texting with the offensive line coach. He was texting with the players like, hey, I'm seeing this. And he was already doing a lot of that stuff, you know, helping out, coaching. And I think it just at the end of the day felt like this is what I do. And why not just go back in the building and actually do it for real?
You know, the Saints.
But good news for Juge, though, because maybe now Zach can get you unblocked by Peyton on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw you're stealing that from my dad.
You know, the Saints, they need to.
That's Mr. Steven.
The Saints stole.
If Connor can't get me unblocked by coach, I think it's hopeless.
Unblocking you is true. It's just too much. It's an effort that Sean Payton isn't willing to do and isn't willing to learn. Once you are blocked by Payton, you are in the black hole. You're never coming out.
Connor Payton said, "I got you. I'm going to make this happen." And then
it didn't happen.
So I'm telling you, it's hopeless.
I want to say this.
Then he talked to his dad, and he was like, "Fuck that! I'm not unblocking Juge. Are you fucking kidding me?"
He made that
medicine cabinet joke. Fuck that dude.
And there's probably been like three people that have like approached Peyton and been like, "Hey, do you know Andrew Juge? Can you unblock that guy?"
I unblock people all the time. I'm very kind. I unblock like three people. Juge sent me a thing. Is like, please unblock these people. I unblock people, you know. But here's my question. I want the Saints. They hired Streif and made the New Orleans media less interesting and less fun. They need to hire Nick Underhill as like a nerd analyst, whatever. And that can Sean Payton's devious plan to just leave the New Orleans media a burning husk of nothing. And then we can be the king of the graveyard because there'll be nothing left. That is what I want the Saints to do.
But then he's going to hire Dave as a mascot and he'll be the candy man.
Yeah.
The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world go round.
So I appreciated Juge trying to get people on Twitter to tweet the Saints that I should be the play-by-play guy, but it's probably going to be Mike Haas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
But also, I want to say this to people on Twitter, like Chris, how do you say his name?
Not
even though he's been a guest on the
incorrect.
Rose Vugla?
Huh?
Andrew?
Huh?
Rose Vugla and all these other Saints people, they are tweeting out made up fucking names of players that they know I cannot pronounce. And they're like,
you
the Saints are going to virtual visit with
the guy's name, let alone the players. You can't even pronounce the name of the guy that's tweeting you.
I know,
let alone
I can't.
The guys that he's tweeting about.
Yeah, but Rose Vugla, is that right? I feel bad because he's been on the show like twice, and I still
just call him Chris.
I still butcher his name. But my point is, I don't think these players are real names. I think they're just made up names that people do, and they tag me in the tweet, and they giggle because they know that I will never be able to pronounce that name because it's not a real name. It's made up.
They just banged on the keyboard a few times.
Yeah.
And
like,
whatever letters came together, that's the player's name.
Tell me I'm wrong. Prove me I'm wrong. So, but
We'll do some mock drafts when we get close to the draft season. We should do a mock draft where we have to select the most difficult name, like in the top 10 left on the board, and make Ralph say all their names at the end. That would be fun.
Yeah, no, I think we did that last year. Right? We did the draft where you could only do names that I couldn't pronounce. And now that we are
we gotta do that again.
We are PFF members. We got the membership to when we thanks to the patrons, they one of the things we do. They have a really Andrew, you were playing with their tool. They have like a really cool like draft simulator tool, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So we'll be doing all kinds of mock drafts and stuff. So I guess the play-by-play guy they're going to get Zach Streep's leaving. I guess it's going to be Mike Haas. People were saying Joel Myers, but he's TV, and unless they're going to like fly him to the games and like I don't see him doing Pelicans and Saints. They could
totally
do Todd Graffanini,
Homer,
who does the Pelicans.
I this is total homer and I love Zach, but like a dark horse prediction would be I think that he would move up the coaching staff ranks pretty quickly.
Really?
And I would say it would not surprise me if in 3 years he's the offensive coordinator. And before you call me crazy, think about his personality. Think about his skills as a communicator. I think he'd be a really good teacher for young players. I think he's incredibly smart. And I think as we talk about Pete Carmichael not getting a job all these years, I kind of think if this offense can be successful post-Breeze, that might be what it takes to get Carmichael over
to get
a job.
I said this to Juge in a chat, Dave, and I 100% believe it. If the Saints win with Jameis Winston, and let's say they win a fifth division title and Jameis is like comeback player of the year, I believe 100% Sean Payton, assistants on his staff, are going to be like McVay for the Rams. Where, remember when McVay, after he got Goff good, anybody who had coffee with him, they're like, you want to run our offense? Cool. I really believe that with the Saints. Like, if Sean Payton can turn Jameis Winston around and they win a fifth straight division title, Carmichael, Curtis Johnson, like, all of them are going to get jobs. Every team that needs an offensive coordinator, they're going to be looking for Saints. They're going to hire interns. They might hire me if I can see Sean Payton at Danny and Clyde's pumping gas. A team might be dumb enough to hire me. I really believe that. Tell me I'm wrong, Dave.
I don't know if I can get on board with that. I mean, first of all, Carmichael, if Carmichael hasn't left yet, he's not going anywhere. That's the way I feel about Carmichael.
You don't think the offense being successful without Breeze would be enough to raise his resume?
You don't think that team plenty of teams would have gladly taken Carmichael? I don't think Carmichael has any desire to go anywhere else. I just really don't.
He's only interviewed one time. He interviewed for the Rams job in 2011. That's the only thing.
You don't think that he's had opportunities? You don't think that there's a market out there for the guy who's run the best offense for the last 15 years?
Nah.
I mean, thing is, though, Dave, all these NFL coaches, especially guys that are coordinators, they all want head jobs. They all want, like they want, because there's only 32 of these jobs. Right? All these dudes, they work 100 hours a week. They all want to be a head coach, especially guys that are coordinators. I believe that. So I believe Carmichael, I believe he's very happy where he is, but I 100% believe if a team interviewed him, he'd 100% take the job if he got offered a head coaching job.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The only other thing I could believe is that there are certain position coaches, not head coaches, but position coaches that are untouchable. That basically head coaches say, "Look, this is my guy." I don't want anybody sniffing around him. I don't want to. And sometimes I wonder, like, if Pete Carmichael is like that guy. Like, Sean Payton has a thing with Pete Carmichael. He's been around for a long time. He trusts him. And there's just like this unwritten head coach rule that there are certain guys that you're just not allowed to touch because
that's maybe the most ridiculous.
Maybe.
Thing
I mean, Sperano was like that.
Call me QB Anon. Do whatever you want to do.
I mean, how else do you explain? Belichick has literally lost every awesome assistant coach he's had.
Maybe Belichick doesn't give a shit. Maybe Belichick doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about his players. He'll let a player go. He knows when to sell high and buy low. So maybe he doesn't give a shit about his coaches either.
Yes, I'm sure his most trusted assistants are cool with staying as opposed to getting a head coach.
Anyway, I disagree with you. I don't think Carmichael wants to go anywhere. I think if Carmichael wanted to go somewhere, I think he could have gone somewhere else by now.
Maybe. I don't know. I disagree. Thomas,
look this up, okay? I want to know the length of tenure of offensive coordinators in the league right now. I feel like that's not a job where people stick around for a long time. How long has Pete Carmichael been offensive coordinator for the Saints? How many years?
As long as Sean Payton's been there.
No, okay. I think he was like quarterback coach for like 2 years, and then they promoted him.
I want to know how many other offensive coordinators have kept their job for that long. I guarantee you.
That's a direct extension of Sean Payton being the head coach for that long.
Stop.
What?
You're belittling Carmichael. You're saying Carmichael has nothing to do with this. That's an insult to Carmichael.
I'm not saying that Carmichael has nothing to do with it. I'm saying that the league believes he has failed to get a job elsewhere because the league believes this is Sean Payton's deal. He's the one calling the plays. He's the one that designed the offense. Drew Brees is the one executing it. Carmichael
Let me tell you something. Even
That's
if
not
Sean,
what I believe.
No, I understand that. Let's say all that was true. Let's say Sean Payton has been doing all this. You don't want to take a flyer on a guy who's been learning from that guy for 11 fucking years. He's been an apprentice. The league loves those guys. The league loves those young guys. So look, I'm telling you, Carmichael doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to be a head coach. I am very adamant about this.
He does not. Head coach. You're wrong. But you know, here's the thing. So Dan Campbell just got a job, right? Did you listen to his interview? Did you listen to his introductory presser?
Yeah, he wants to bite it.
Bite
bizarre.
Ears.
Yeah,
kneecap
people or something. So
it's very
Campbell,
Greg Williams-esque.
He's a rah-rah type A. He's like the blueprint, like what you imagine an NFL head coach being, okay? Pete Carmichael is soft-spoken. He's unassuming. He's the nerd with the glasses. Like, he is not, like, I just don't think he's a guy that's winning over an NFL.
He's got that Tony Dungy vibe.
I agree with you.
Teams, like, Tony Dungy didn't get a head coaching job for the longest time because he was low-key, he's very religious, and he was black, so it was like a double whammy against Dungy. Pete Carmichael has half of that. He's got that low-key nerd vibe, and when you interview, like a lot of these owners, they want the rah-rah, masculine, own-the-room cliche. Like they need to see that. They need to feel that, and Carmichael doesn't have that. But to Dave's point...
Wait. I have more to say about this. And you're right. Carmichael doesn't have that. And I think Carmichael knows that he doesn't have that. And I think Carmichael knows that he's not head coach material.
Oh,
he doesn't want to be a head coach. Okay? Now, my buddy, our buddy Sean... Our buddy Kevin Held.
God, I hate to hear that.
Our buddy Kevin Held just sent me a message on Facebook. It is a tweet from Field Yates from January of this year, and it says, "Pete Carmichael Jr. of the Saints and Josh McDaniels of the Patriots, and technically Kyle Shanahan too, are the only offensive coordinators to be with their current team since before 2018. Just 2018, just 3 years. There's only three offensive coordinators that have been with the team longer than 3 years. No coaching position is turning over faster in the NFL than offensive coordinators. Pete Carmichael has topped out as offensive coordinator, and he's got himself a nice cushy gig in New Orleans under Sean Payton, and he's not going anywhere.
Maybe.
So to answer Ralph's question from earlier about whether our staff is going to get pillaged and plundered. Maybe, but it's not going to be Carmichael.
I really hope we can revisit this after the Saints go 11-5 next January, Dave.
Yeah, we're saving this podcast.
We're saving this timestamp. Timestamp
this shit.
I can't wait till he leaves.
Carmichael gets the New England Patriots head coaching job.
No, you know what it'll be? It'll be like freaking Illinois. Right, he'll be like the head coach of Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh well, no, that's not that. I'm not saying college.
Pete Carmichael. He was born to be the Vanderbilt Commodores head coach. He's born to be that.
The North Carolina Tar Heels head coach.
Yeah. Mac Brown's there. It's Mac Brown's gonna be there for life.
Mac Brown's gonna retire.
I'm talking about the NFL. I'm not talking about college. That's not fair. Thank you, Kevin, for the tweet.
So,
wait. But why wouldn't a head coaching job in college be even less exciting? Wouldn't that disprove your point even more?
No, it wouldn't be less exciting than being offensive coordinator in the NFL.
I don't know.
But
I don't know, man.
Less exciting than being head coach.
Head coach at Vanderbilt, Dave. It might be.
If he's leaving to go to head coach a college team, that's less appealing than leaving to go be a head coach of a pro team, which would further disprove your point.
If Pete Carmichael goes,
believe
to
whatever
UTEP,
you want to believe. I can assure you that's not happening. He's not going to be a head coach of any college team.
Timestamp this.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried.
So, before we get to me and Dave talking about getting our asses frozen off all week, especially me in Texas where it was a calamity, we need to talk. Actual Saints off-season stuff, and we just can do some previews. And I want to talk about, Andrew, the one position I want to start tonight is offensive-defensive line. I think the offensive line is pretty set in that they're going to move McCoy, right? They're going to put Ruiz at center.
I mean, we think so, yeah.
They feel pretty locked in. You know, they're probably going to extend Ramczyk. They feel pretty locked in. I don't think they would draft a guy high on the offensive line unless, like, the rating for the dude was ridiculous like Ramczyk was in 2017. But on the defensive line, they may lose Hendrickson. They're probably going to move on from Rankins. They may move on from Malcolm Brown. Cam Jordan is on the other side of 30, and he had a down year. Like, I feel defensive line could be a position where not only do they pick in the first round, I believe defensive line could be a position where they pick multiple positions on defensive line in the draft this year.
Yeah, defensive line, like, they're probably going to lose Hendrickson. Cam Jordan looks like he's declining. Malcolm Brown is a potential cut. Davenport could be gone in a year, and he's starting to look like a bust, right? There's a ton of question marks. That Sheldon Rankins might be gone. So there could be a ton of turnover. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think they need to get younger. I think they need to get more talented. And, look, time is up with Rankins, I think. I don't think he'll come back. And it may be with Hendrickson, too. And those are guys they drafted that really bolster their rotation. And so you got to restock there. And you're not going to be able – we know how expensive – free agent sack guys are. You want to go out and get a double digit sack guy, it's going to cost you big time. So the best way to combat that is to get young talent, get draft picks.
Dude,
and Granderson is a great start. Granderson's a nice little rotational piece they have. They got a couple defensive tackles in there. Shai Tuttle and Malcolm Roach were nice little pickups. So they've got some potential there, but yeah, they need more talent. And so I agree with you, Ralph. I think defensive line is certainly in play with the first round pick, and we could see them pick a couple in the draft this year.
Dave, you know that, like, basically for every sack you have as a player, it's $1 million in your salary base, kind of almost. But my question to you is, how concerned would you be if they lost Hendrickson and they lost Malcolm Brown and they didn't add a guy in the draft in, let's say, the first three rounds? How concerned would you be about the defensive line?
And they didn't draft somebody? Yeah, that would be very concerning. you know, they've got some guys that are great for depth, but I mean, you know, they need another. Look, Cam Jordan really didn't show up on the sack stat sheet last season too much. That doesn't mean everything, obviously, but if you lose Hendrickson, who had your 13 and a half sacks or whatever it was, and you lose Rankins or Malcolm Brown or somebody like that, and then you don't even, I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, tell me in your scenario that they sign a veteran or something. I mean, come on, throw me a bone here. Give me something. Because no, if they don't address it and they lose players, that would be concerning. They definitely need to.
I mean, but it's, you know, the thing
need,
is,
they
just
need to get better.
It's just hard to find. Like, even old dudes that have like a one final breakout year, they get, you know, like guys that even have 7-8 sacks that are over 30, like, teams will pay them like 1 year, $7.5-8 million. Who's the guy? Cameron Wake. He's damn near 40. Tennessee, I mean, he's washed up now, but Tennessee gave him like 2 years, $16 million, I believe, in 2019. So teams are desperate for pass rush. That's why Hendrickson is going to get paid out the ass, right, Andrew? Like, So I just think the Saints could be in a very difficult spot where they're going to be depending on a high draft pick to give them pass rush, and that's never a good thing. Because, Andrew, didn't you do a column or something for the patrons a while ago where, like, if you're not drafted in the first round, the chances that you get 10 sacks is like basically Trey Hendrickson for the Saints, that's like hitting the Powerball. Like, that never happens, right?
You're correct, yeah. Almost all double-digit sack guys are first-round picks, categorically.
Yeah, that's why they should sign J.J. Watt. You need to make that happen.
to they can't afford. I mean, like, how much J.J. Watt's going to cost as much as Trey Hendrickson, if not more? No,
J.J.
Watt. He's such a big name. He'll cost a fortune. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not going to sign. If that's your move, you might as well just re-sign Trey Hendrickson.
If you think about how much money Ndamukong Suh's been getting the last few years, Watt will get that and more.
I mean, what did Ndamukong Suh in 2018? What did the Rams give him? Like 1 year, $18 million.
1 year, $10 million or something.
And that's about what he makes for Tampa now, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Ndamukong Suh in the Super Bowl, he might be old or whatever. He was a fucking animal. I know Kansas City's offensive line was all a shambles, but they were putting him all over the place. He was amazing. It was like he was back in Nebraska.
It helped him a lot that Vita Vea was back. That Vita Vea made a big difference in that game for him.
Yeah. Vita Vea, he was a guy. He was injured the whole year. He like broke his leg or something.
Suh was 1 year. He had a 1 year deal this year for $8 million.
So, before we get to the mailbag, the questions, Andrew's in charge of that. I want to say thanks to everybody who reached out to me on Twitter and patrons. Some patrons messaged me, worried about me in Texas because, as you know, Texas was a calamity. They had the worst winter storm in Texas in like 100 years. Lost power. Lost water. Complete chaos, but I want to thank everybody for reaching out to me, and it was the right choice to go last Sunday, because if we hadn't recorded the big show last Sunday night, we wouldn't have had podcasts all week, because Texas was it was incredible, Dave. Like, that's my backyard. The roads, like, it was like an inch of snow, and in North Houston, I mean, it was like a winter fucking wonderland. I can never remember, Dave, and you've lived in New Orleans a long time. I can never, and it's sort of this basic theme, I can never remember a time in my life where it got cold living in New Orleans or Texas, where it dropped below freezing and stayed that way for a week. Like, this winter storm was bananas.
That's actually a picture of your yard.
That is a picture. Yeah. That is a picture of my yard. You do not see to the right my new patio furniture that's probably ruined because of sub-freezing temperatures that happened for a week.
There was a winter, I want to say 2, 3, or 4 years ago here in New Orleans, where it did get very cold and it got below freezing. I don't know about for a week, but at least 3-4 days, and I know that because all of my pipes busted at the store, and I was like frantically needing a water key so I can shut the water off to my building so I could stop spewing water and I could get somebody over there to fix them. So there was one winter, but it didn't shut the city down anywhere close to what it did for you guys in Houston. And you know, it's crazy because all the stuff that happens, it was cold. It froze for one night in New Orleans. It wasn't really a big deal. You know, Ralph hasn't showered in a week and hasn't had power and all that.
Showered
kind of stuff.
Yesterday was glorious.
I've been taking warm showers, and, you know, I'm cooking and watching TV. Everything's fine over here. But we did have the one night where it got cold. And I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, I just want to say this. Not to make it political, but God damn it. And if I don't have power and I can't flush my toilet, I'm going to blame people. And like, Texas couldn't even be bothered to wrap the pipes. Like, they're like, winterize. Yeah. We don't need to do that. Like, when's it ever going to get cold here? It's never going to happen. So, I mean, it's bad. I mean, look, we still can't drink the water in Pearland, but the toilet's flush, so that's nice. And you take a shower, just make sure not to drink the water.
We have boil water advisories
every other day in New Orleans.
In New Orleans,
it felt like home when they told me to boil my water.
Yeah, we're used to that. That's not I don't feel so bad for that. But no power sucks. No heat definitely sucks. That's what I was gonna say. So, so yeah, but so it obviously in Texas, you guys had a huge problem, but it still affects everywhere else. Like, so here in Louisiana, you know, Trader Joe's, my wife wanted to go shopping at Trader Joe's today.
My wife.
I said, you can't do that because I saw on social media, like, Trader Joe's was totally empty. The shelves were totally bare because all their shipments come from Texas and nobody could leave Texas. Me at my store, actually, I order stuff from warehouses in Dallas all the time. And it's normally a next day ship. And so I'm missing a bunch of stuff for some of my customers and some of my orders that I'm still waiting on because
the grocery looked worse than at the beginning of the pandemic. And I thought at the beginning of the pandemic in March, the groceries being empty was bananas. I went to the grocery on Thursday and it was barren. I mean, and I'm not talking like, right. They didn't have stuff like you could be like, oh, I can get this. I mean, like aisles were empty, fucking nothing. Produce section, empty. Meat section, not a thing. Cheese section, none of it. We ended up having to get.
Sounds like Ralph is going to have to settle for
it. Is.
Beans
we ended up having to get make chili pies. We had to get like HEB chili and like a bag of HEB imitation Fritos. And that's what we made Frito pies.
Ralph, inquiring minds want to know, when you're in the middle of a pandemic winter blackout, does your wife still leave clothes out, your outfit out the next day for you?
She explicitly told me wear the same thing because I can't wash clothes. So I literally wore the same thing every day except for changing my underwear.
Well, that's good when you're not showering, yeah.
Because you don't have water. You can't wash clothes if you don't have water.
Is it good, though? Dave, right?
No, I was being facetious. I would think if you're not showering, the least you'd want to do is change your clothes. By wearing the same clothes every day, you're just exacerbating the situation.
I was worried, too. If Drew Brees would have retired, Channel 4 would have had me on, and I would have looked like a homeless person. I would have looked even worse than normal because
you would have had to go to Starbucks to do it. You didn't have power. How would you have been able to do it?
Well, no, water was the main issue. We had power. We had power starting on Tuesday off and on. We would have it and then they would cut off and we'd have it and cut off. I guess they do the rolling blackouts, but we got power consistently back like Thursday morning.
Man, Eric Paulson would roast the shit out of you if you were doing your live feed from like your car, your Prius.
No, the best Dave would do it from Starbucks and they bring me my order as I'm doing the live shot. That's at Taco Bell. No, Popeyes ran out of Fredo says Popeyes ran out of chicken. They did. It was bad. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators perform a rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you, so you can shop confidently, knowing your pair is the real deal. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website and use your mobile device to sign in today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thomas, fire up the music. It's question time.
Are we going to talk about the coldest-blooded Saints? Or are we doing that after the questions?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do the Ralph Shuffle?
There you go.
Are you gonna do the shake weight, jerking off into your mouth?
I don't hear the music, but it's okay. I'll just dance anyway.
You don't
finger
hear
guns.
It? Oh. Sounds beautiful as ever.
Yeah.
So Andrew, fire. By the way, become a patron, and you get access to our Discord channel, and you get access to all of our content. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention it because I'm a dumbass. We have a new sponsor. eBay Sneakers is a sponsor of the podcast. If you buy,
are we getting free sneakers?
No, but if you buy a pair of sneakers on eBay and send us the receipt, you get entered into the raffle. We're raffling off 4 pairs of Air Force Ones through Armchair Media.
Whoa.
So send us a receipt. You can get entered into the raffle. Go to eBay. They have their new classic sneakers. It's amazing.
Are we allowed to enter?
They authenticate us. They authenticate the sneakers and everything. It's great. You should totally do it. So, Andrew, fire off the first question.
I didn't hear a word that Ralph just said there, but
yeah.
Okay, so the first question is from Bud Rich, and he had a couple questions. The first one is, if the Bears go all out and give Jameis a massive deal, would you sacrifice a 3rd and a conditional 2022 pick to the Jets for Darnold?
No. I look at Darnold and I'm like, no, just roll with Taysom and go and get Taysom and go get Fitzmagic and let's get weird in 2021. Don't trade for Darnold.
And Dave, he also wants to know Darnold or Jameis for QB in 2021.
Oh my God. You know. Miss me with that Darnold shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling you. All right. This question number 2 is from Chris Moss.
No Moss.
He wants to know what is the worst round of the playoffs to lose in, considering heartache, draft position, and whatever else you think matters?
Yes. The answer is yes.
I would say this.
I don't know. I mean, I losing in the Super Bowl, I would say at least you made it there. To me, that's not as – I know, like, you're right there. And
that's not even really the playoffs. I don't even really consider the Super Bowl the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yeah, right. Like, to be able to say we made a Super Bowl would be, in of itself, I think, incredible.
Any home loss in the playoffs, to me, is brutal, no matter what the round. Because if you're the home team, you're better, right? So, like, losing to Tampa – losing to Minnesota last year. The only road loss that the Saints have ever suffered in the playoffs that really, really ate at me was San Francisco in 2011. Even Minnesota, the Minnesota Miracle, that didn't bother me. The Beastquake didn't really bother me. The San Francisco loss in 2011 did, but any playoff loss that's a home loss, to me, is always brutal. It doesn't matter the round.
I think if to answer the question specifically, if you were to ask me which round, I think the NFC Championship is the worst, because then you're so close to the Super Bowl. And
yeah.
I just think the 2 times the Saints have lost in that game, they were painful in their own ways, but the no call will always be the worst for me.
Always.
Unless you lose to the Atlanta Falcons. The playoff games where you lose to the Falcons might be the worst. Speaking from experience, unfortunately. All right, ZNWR wants to know, why is Drew taking so long to announce his retirement?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, we kind of already addressed that at the top of the show, but...
he wants to give us more content. Maybe he wants to give us stuff to talk about.
Yeah, he's just...
But Ralph, and his second part of his question is, would Sean Payton start him again next year if he decides to come back?
100%. He ain't coming back to be no fucking hold no clipboard motherfucker, okay? Don't get it twisted. Drew Brees is not coming back to be fucking backup quarterback.
That is 100% fact.
Timestamp that shit, Thomas.
Well, no, I don't think he means that. I think he means more like, would Sean Payton be like, nah, I don't want you? Is there any chance if Drew comes back? I guess the question is, if Drew comes back,
No, I think they would take him. Yes, they would take him.
No matter what.
I mean, isn't that what Mickey's always said? Like, he'll play as long as he wants to play.
That is fair. So if Drew says I'm back, the Saints take him no matter what. That's your answer. So does that specifically mean Jameis doesn't come back if Drew does? Has to, right? Ralph, you muted yourself.
I don't know. I think if Jameis is smart, he sticks around one more year. He's still young, and then he gets a shot. I don't know.
I mean, two years on the bench. The thing is for Jameis, though, is like if Drew comes back, he could go to the Bears. He can go to New England for like he can go there. I mean, they might pay him even less than what the Saints were going to pay him, but he can start. Like he goes to the Bears for like 1 year, $4 million. Like he's 100% starting. He goes to New England. He's 100% starting. So, I think if Drew comes back, Winston's 100% gone.
All right. The next one I have is from Down with Disease. He wants to know, outside of QB, what is the one position group that you would upgrade this offseason and why?
Again, my answer to that is yes.
If I have to pick one, I think I'm going to steal Andrew's answer. That, like, 5 weeks of Kwon Alexander, where he was amazing and could run sideline to sideline and be great and have speed that we didn't see the Saints ever have at linebacker. Like, I can't go back. That's like 4K TV. Like, once you see soccer in 4K, you cannot go back. I can't go back to shitty, slow linebackers. The Saints got to draft somebody at linebacker that can run, that they can pair with DeMario Davis.
I mean, I think that's a good answer. D-line would be up there, too. Otherwise, Dark Horse Punter.
No, they got the dude. He got the Peyton red shirt. They got the Penn State guy.
Man, I wish I could find this tweet from Andrew Brandt because...
Oh, the one that I shared?
Yeah, this is from Balky, and I love this question, and it's tongue-in-cheek. But it relates to a tweet that Andrew Brandt had, and I'm trying to locate the tweet, but I can't find it this quickly. But the nuts and bolts of Andrew Brandt's tweet was, it's not cap wizardry or cap genius to do what Mickey Loomis does. What's genius is to be under the cap and actually manage it correctly. That's what real cap wizardry is. Balky's question.
Go ahead.
What? Oh, so Balky's question is, considering the well-known fact among the national media that Mickey Loomis is a terrible GM, especially with the salary cap, how much better would the Saints be if they had a competent GM who knew how to always have $40 million in cap space?
Yeah, like the Bengals. the Bengals always.
Like the Jags. You,
here's the thing: if you have cap space and you are winning, it's because A, your quarterback's on a rookie deal, or B, you just have a bunch of dudes that you haven't paid yet, or C, you suck like the Jaguars. Those are the only three options to having a bunch of cap space. The only team that I can remember that's had decent amount of cap space and won, New England, throughout some of their stretches of winning, has had cap space, but they haven't had a ton of cap space. Like, you have to pay you're good players, and there's no way around that. And the only way to do it is to be like Cincinnati, is you can win and then not pay them and they can leave. Like, I just think that sounds great, that what he said, that tweet, but it's bullshit. Like, if you win, you have good players. And if you have good players, you have fucking cap problems.
I have the tweet. The word for word, he said, and a note about managing an NFL salary cap. It doesn't take a quote-unquote cap guru or quote-unquote cap wizard to constantly restructure and push out cap charges to bring down the current cap. It takes a cap guru or cap wizard to not have to do that. A lot of people on like the...
Can you send that link to in the chat to Thomas so he can...
A lot of the I don't know if Thomas can just find it. It's in the Saints talk. It's not that far up in the Saints talk.
But just send a link in the chat, and then he'll be able to put it on.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's between my phone and my computer. That's like a big pain in the ass to do.
A lot of work.
But a lot of people in the Twitter replies seem to think that, you know, Howie Roseman is somebody that he was referencing there. The Green Bay Packers, you know, having to go, you know, maybe going big and getting J.J. Watt or whatever. But I didn't see anything about Mickey.
I don't know. I've just – the thing is, man, the Saints, they – for basically –
I think Mickey applies for sure.
They went – the last 2-3 years especially, they've gone – they went all out to try to get a Super Bowl. And it
Ralph,
didn't,
your mic is – get your mic closer to your mouth. You sound like shit.
I sound like terrible.
There you
– yeah. So, I mean, they tried to win a Super Bowl. They went all out. They did the best. It didn't work. But, you know, what can you do? I mean, I would much rather when you know your window is open, that my team did everything they could, than
totally.
Then, oh, we had a once in a lifetime quarterback, but you know what? In 2023, our cap is going to be pristine, and we're going to have $90 million. Who gives a fuck? Like, we tried to win the Super Bowl. They went all in. It didn't work. They got screwed because of the no-call. Other things happened. Kawan Alexander was a sneaky big injury against Tampa because Anzalone got, you know, got lit up and roasted.
Whoop.
But,
nice.
You know.
That was a test. You passed.
It just pisses me off that people like Brand. It grinds my gears, as Peter Griffin would say.
All right, well, Ralph, I got something to put you in a better mood. This next question is also from Budrich. He wants you to pronounce this name. I'm not gonna try to pronounce it, but there it is.
You have to look in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay.
The edge rusher from Vanderbilt.
I see. Daya Adeyingbo?
That's not bad. I think that's
right. Yeah, Adeyingbo might be right.
Adeyingbo.
You know how I would say it? This is how I would say it. Dayo. Oh, Adeyingbo.
He'd be a great pick.
Daylight, come and me one go home.
Thomas, they can put him. You can have a whole sound bank of that. We can just drop that sound bite repeatedly. They had a receiver. You know,
question 7 from Crescendo 2020. He wants to know if you could win one more Super Bowl, exactly, so two total, but you had to have 4-12 at best seasons outside of the two Super Bowls, and your QB was Jay Cutler instead of Drew. Would you do it?
100%. Like, does Jay Cutler win the Super Bowl, or do you just have to suffer with Jay Cutler in the 4-12?
For clarification, Jay Cutler had been the QB from 2006 until current in order to get that Super Bowl.
100%. Is it smoking Jay Cutler? Because that makes a difference. If it's smoking Jay Cutler, fucking sign me up.
I mean,
as Ralph would say, my body is ready.
I mean,
how much of that time period does Kristen Cavallari stay with him in New Orleans? Because I feel like that's material.
None. They're divorced. They're getting divorced.
I'm aware.
I feel like smoking Jay Cutler, the meme of smoking Jay Cutler with the cigarette and the Lombardi would be amazing. I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. You could have a serial killer at quarterback, and I still might say, give me the Super Bowl. Like, that's how much I love winning a Super Bowl with the Saints. Like, there's almost no person that you could tell me they would be the quarterback,
Joel,
and I'd be
Rifkin.
Like, I'm out. Hitler, maybe? I might have a hard time if Hitler was the quarterback.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Maybe.
He'd be a hard guy to root for.
He'd be a hard guy to root for, but, I mean, you know.
It only gets worse from here. We better move on.
But, you know, Super Bowl, I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I hate to go there, but, you know, Darren Sharper was on that Super Bowl team, and we still celebrate that Lombardi, you know, just saying.
Carl Granderson, his criminal record is not pretty. The big
Don't you
creeper.
Talk about my adopted son that way.
It is. I'm talking about your adopted son.
He's a changed man.
The correct pronunciation is Odangbo. That's what the chat says.
There you, that's all the questions I got, man.
So that's all the questions. So we wrap it up. You know, well, thanks you to everybody in the chat. By the way,
Ralph, the title of this freaking show is Coldest Blooded.
And we did it, and we went off the rails. And Thomas, I apologize. Tase me tomorrow in the meeting. That was going to be the main topic. We were going to pick the coldest blooded Saints. And
we could go around the horn and pick one real quick. Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, I'm going Drew Brees then.
I'm going Deuce McAllister.
Why Drew? Can we get like an explanation on this?
So I would say that with Drew specifically, other than the wins and the amount of success that he's had, the thing for me about Drew is that when he was in the 2-minute offense, especially, it just always felt like he was so stoic and his blood pressure went down. And it's just his body language. I mean, when he'd score a touchdown, he'd maybe give a fist pump and all that. But like when he was locked in the zone, it just felt like the more tense the game got, the louder the fans, the higher the stakes or whatever, the game's on the line. Like he's just moving his shoulder, he's laser focus, and you don't see any excitement.
The spin move against Atlanta, that's amazing.
He's cold blooded, man. He's it's like his blood pressure as the intensity rises, his blood pressure goes lower.
I picked Deuce McAllister just because his 3 seasons where he ran for 1,600 yards, it always felt like he had another gear that he didn't use just because he didn't have to. And his 2006 playoff, and there's a shot of him without the helmet, and his 2006 playoff game where he just carried Eagles into the end zone. Like, look at him just trucking Tampa Bay. Like, Tampa Bay, the year they won the Super Bowl, the Saints beat them twice, and they beat them twice mostly
like
because they just pounded Deuce up the middle against their cover 2, and they had no answer for it. Like, young Deuce was just remarkable, and he was my most cold-blooded guy by far. You know, Dave, who do you got? Ooh, those gold jerseys are horrible. They make me want to throw up. Oh, and that Minnesota game where Culpepper went for 2 and got it. Ugh. Thomas, you're giving me seizures, PTSD.
I didn't realize I should have given my answer ahead of time. Then Tomas could have queued up some video footage of my guy. I'm going to go more so off the field than on the field. I'm going to go with Marcus Colston. I guess I mean more of like a cold fish than anything else, just because he was just so in the zone. He wasn't very, he didn't interact with the media too much. Not that he was, not that he went out of his way to not talk to them, but he just wasn't an outspoken guy, and he certainly wasn't outspoken on the field or off the field. And to be honest with you, I think that's the reason why he never got picked to a Pro Bowl. He just never made himself.
He never said one interesting thing.
He never said feed me. He never said he never said look at me. He never said feed me. He never said pay me.
He never said close mouths don't get fed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What was it that Michael Thomas said this year? What was his? Wasn't there a tweet or something that
he
said?
There were so many Michael Thomas tweets this year, Andrew. So many. I also said Ricky Jackson because, look, I know he's a Saints Hall of Famer. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But the thing about Ricky Jackson was, when all those years where the Saints were good and they didn't win a playoff game, but in the Falcons playoff game and the Eagles playoff game, 2 different times when it was completely fucking falling apart, Ricky Jackson had a sack, forced fumble both times to basically try to single-handedly save the Saints and win them a playoff game, and it still wasn't good enough. But Ricky Jackson was just cold-blooded. And the thing that made Ricky Jackson more cold-blooded to me, Andrew, was he had that face mask after he got in the car accident and almost killed himself, where he looked kind of like a Star Wars villain. where it was like all covered, and he just like that one there with like the extra bars and the visor, like he just looked like a goddamn villain, and he was just cold-blooded as a son of a bitch.
And another guy I would say from that era was Morten Andersen. I just felt like any time there was a critical kick, a kick that he had to make, he just never missed a kick that mattered, I felt like. If he had to hit the 60-yarder before halftime, or I know he had some misses in his career, but I just felt like every big moment he came through. They called him Mr. Automatic.
So. I should have told Thomas to cue up the kick that he made against San Francisco in 87, where he made a kick with like 30 seconds left to beat San Francisco, and the little flags on the goalpost, one of them was going right and one of them was going left, and he still kicked it in from like 45 yards where he like knuckleballed it in. And Jim Mora after the game is literally running off the field smiling, hugging Morten Andersen, probably saying to him, "I can't believe you made that kick in this wind." So that was a great that's a great choice as well. So I gotta say the new podcast top graphics notch. Is amazing.
Fucking give him the chef's kiss, Ralph. Fucking give it to him, dude.
I love it. It's amazing. it's amazing, Thomas. I mean, I don't know what to say. Rough. I mean, we feel professional, and that feels really
weird.
You're
too
for
good
us.
For us, man.
He is too good for us. But I want to thank. You know, I want to thank everybody in the chat and go and buy some sneakers on eBay and get in the raffle to get some Air Force Ones and become a patron, goddammit. We're the best Saints podcast on earth. $10 a month, you get the booze bundle, you get access to the Discord, you get this podcast, you get it commercial free. It's amazing. Look at all that fun stuff you get. And if you sign up annually, you get a month for free. All right? So, and listen, Andrew will tell you, and Dave, we don't make hardly any money off this podcast. The thing that we do when we get the money from the patron, we hire people like Thomas to make the show better. We give you guys cups and merch. Like, we're just doing this for fun, and we want it. The more support we have, the more cool stuff we can do, like hire Thomas to make the live stream look professional. So become a patron, support the show. It's amazing. So that'll wrap it up. The only thing I wish Kevin was here, because I think Kevin cackling during this show would have brought it to a different level. But maybe next week Kevin will find it in his heart to join us.
Kevin did participate. He sent me the link to that tweet by Field Yates. That was clutch.
Yeah. So, you know.
Pete Carmichael.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for Thomas for running everything behind the scenes. It was flawless, amazing. So everybody, for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.